chapter, verses 1 through 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you so much for your love and for your kindness, God, for loving us even when we didn't even know how to love ourselves. God, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. God, and we pray right now, God, that even as Pastor Phil brings forth the word, that you would allow his words to sit in our hearts and to challenge us this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just have your way, God. Open up our hearts that we would receive what you have to say to us this morning. And I pray even now, God, that your glory would be revealed in this place today. God, move by your power, move by your spirit. God, we need you this morning, and we realize that we're nothing without you, that we cannot live without you, Lord. God, I pray today that you would allow us to experience you today as healer, Amen. God, as deliverer, Amen. God, as peace in our spirits and in our hearts. Lord, we thank you so much. Have your way as our prayer today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, when I read this story, I think that we are by people generally skeptical of such things happening today, aren't we? Of somebody being healed and delivered. I think that we tend to doubt and be skeptical and wonder, does that really happen? And it reminds me of an old movie from the 80s, because yes, I'm that old. And can you throw up the picture there? Some of you will recognize this picture in just a moment. About a character played by Eddie Murphy, who was pretending to be lame and pretending to be blind and getting money from people, right? And in this scene, the cops come up and they say, "We've had complaints of someone pretending to be lame and blind." And he tries to, you know, fog them and say, "Oh, you know, this, that, and the other." And they lift him up. And as they lift him up, suddenly his feet come down and he can stand. And what does he do? He says, "I'm healed. I can see. Praise Jesus." And he starts going on and on, telling the cops how beautiful they are, how wonderful they are. And he's walking away. "I've been healed. Praise Jesus. I can't believe it." And it illustrates in a funny way how we feel about healing, right? We're skeptical. How we even feel about people that are in need. Because actually that movie, even though it's been a long time, has some profound things to say about the rich and the poor. You know, even the way that we look at people who are in need, who have lessons, we're skeptical, right? We don't want to believe it. My father always told me, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And that's how I grew up, doubting that anything could happen. When something came in the mail, "Dad, I think I want something." "Oh no," right? Or you get those things in the mail where it looks like a check. Oh, I hate that one. It looks like a check made out to you, right? And it's something else. It's some kind of, they want you to sign up for a loan or something else, right? We're geared to be skeptical because we think it's not true. And we've seen this story played out way too many times, right? And so we get into this pattern where we don't expect anything different to happen. We just expect the same old, same old, same old, right? Well, that's exactly like this man in our story, that was lame from the time he was born. And you can take that picture now. At the time he was born, and he was at this gate into his adult life. Some people think he was probably in his 40s. People had seen him sitting there every day. Probably when he was a child, he was sitting at this gate. And everybody had certain ideas about him. You see, this was a society not like ours. There wasn't all this accessibility and programs and things for him. If you were born lame, if you were born crippled, people just wrote you off. That was it. You were done. In fact, many people believed you were cursed by God. Maybe your parents had done something wrong. Or maybe God had just chosen to curse you. You had no ability to be educated or to have a job. This is who you are. You must beg for your money so that you can eat. So from the time, and some of you, right, you've seen children around the world from the time they're 5, 6, 7 years old begging for money. Hands out, cup out, plate out. And they watched him grow from a boy to a teenager, to a young man, to a middle-aged man. And every day, same old thing, brought to the gate, called beautiful, sat down there. Every day, the same old, same old. To the point where people probably didn't even see him anymore, right? Because when you see it, you get numb to it. And we're not even aware of what's around us sometimes because it's so common and nothing's going to change. And this is just the way it is. Can I pause for a moment and tell you something about this gate? Because it kind of tickles my mind. Why is this gate called beautiful? So I looked this up a little bit. So I have a picture of a model of the temple as they rebuilt it. If you remember, the Israelites in their history were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Then the Babylonians were conquered by the Persians. And the Persians, you know, like ruled over the Israelites. But they made an agreement. They allowed them to go back, you know, under Nehemiah, if you read that story in the Bible, and rebuild the temple, okay? And this is a model of the temple that they think was rebuilt in Jerusalem at this time that we're talking about. And you see that there's a big wall around it, and that huge courtyard is called the Court of the Gentiles, because if you weren't a Jewish person, if you weren't of Israel descent, that's the only place you could go. And then if you can see, there's a tiny little door on that inside rectangle that kind of is shining a little bit goldish right there. That is the gate that they think this man was sitting at the inside one, the gate called Beautiful. And that was the gate to get into the next area, which was called the Court of Women, because that was as far as women could go. So that if you were Jewish, you could get in, but then the women had to stop, and then the men could go into the next court, and then the men had to stop, and then the priests could go into an area, right? And then there was the place only the high priest could go, which was the Holy of Holies. So it was this whole structure of walls, of divisions, of dividing places. And in the middle of this division, at that gate is where this man was placed, the gate called Beautiful, because people would be going in there to bring their worship to God, and he could beg for his money. Why was it called Beautiful? They've done some archaeological research, and on this door was that they did kind of an artistic work, really, of the city of Susa, right? So that was a city in Persia where they'd been in captivity. So the speculation is either the king told them they had to put that there, or they just did it to remember that time of captivity. So if you catch this, to remember one of the most negative, dark times in their life, they made a picture out of it. And this gate, this is what was really exciting to me. I don't know exactly what it means, but I think it's cool. This gate is made out of bronze, right? And all of the other gates, and there were several, every single other gate was overlaid with silver and gold. Ooh, did you catch the poetry in that? Silver and gold I do not have. He said that the only gate that isn't covered with silver and gold, it's a gate made out of bronze, so that when the sun hit it, they said it shined more brilliant and more beautiful than any of the other gates. And I love that imagery, because God is a poet and he's an artist as well as the author of life, right? Amen. Part of what I want to do at HCC with the new church is to help people understand who God really is. Because most people don't see God as so beautiful. We started our service by singing that. You are beautiful, Lord. You are beautiful. Quite hermoso. Eres Jesus. You are beautiful, Jesus. You are beautiful, God. And people don't understand that. But look at the poetry. Look at the profound setting. God cares about the setting. At this gate had a picture of their deepest pain as a country. And it was made not out of the precious metal, but out of bronze. But with the sun shone on it, it was the most beautiful of all. Does anybody hear that? I can say amen right now and we could close. Because that's your life. And that's my life. Our greatest pain, we're not the most valuable by the world's standards. But when the sun shines on us, right? We become the most beautiful place. And here's this man sitting at the gate called Beautiful. So let's dive into this story a little bit, right? Let's dive into this story. It says that he saw Peter and John coming one day about to enter. And Peter and John are coming to the temple courts to pray. They are keeping their connection with God. And that's my first point. As a follower of Jesus, what we need to do is stay connected to God, right? So even after Jesus had risen from the dead, and even though he had sent his Holy Spirit of power, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they continued to go to the temple. They continued to come to the place where they could worship God and where they could connect with God. And I want to tell you that everything they do from this point on is based upon the fact that they stayed connected with God. And I believe that we stay connected with God today through four ways that I want to share with you. Through prayer, through reading God's word, through fellowship with other believers, and through coming together to worship. And yes, so much of that we can do on our own. We can pray to God. It's a conversation with God. We can read the scripture. We can meet with other Christians. But we do need to sometimes come to the temple, right? We need to come to the temple to be with other people, to worship God together. The book of Acts says in chapter 2 that the early believers, they would go to the temple, they would meet together, and then in their homes they would break bread together. So there was a pattern, an ebb and flow of coming together for worship and then meeting in their homes. They were sharing life together, sharing life together. And today you're going to hear more, and through our newsletters you're going to hear more about how we're starting life groups. Life groups are a way of meeting together so that we can share life together. And maybe today God's going to call you to join one of our groups and to become a part of that. Or maybe God's going to call you to start a new group. But it's important that not only do we meet together for worship, but that we come together outside of worship, that we break bread together, that we share life together. Peter and John were together. That's not a mistake. They didn't come alone. They came together. And these two had a bit of history, right? Some of you know from my sermons, they have a bit of history. John thought he was the special one because he was the youngest. How many youngest siblings we got here today? Raise your hand. How many of you think you're special? Keep that hand up because you know, okay? You are special. I'm here to tell you, you are special, okay? You are special. And John thought he was the youngest. He was the special. He was always, and Peter, of course, was always like, I got to be first. I got to jump up. I got to take care. And even in the text where they're racing to the tomb, you know, to see who gets there first. You know, there's a bit of a history, right? And Jesus is talking to Peter and saying, Peter, you're going to live a life that's going to end in death. And Peter's like, well, what about John? Well, what about him? And Jesus is like, don't worry about him. Well, you guys stop worrying about each other, right? How many of you have kids? And one of them says, well, what about him? What, right? How often do we hear that? Well, what about him? Well, what about her? Well, what about? She's like, don't worry about the what abouts. Here they are together. They're friends. They have fellowship. They're living life together, and they're going together to worship. It's important that it's Peter and John together because this man that's begging is alone. He's alone, and he feels outside of the place of worship, and he has to beg for money for his bread instead of being in a community where people can share their bread with him. It was important that they were together. We also stay connected with God by reading the scripture, by understanding what he says. And so many of us, right, we want to know, well, what are we supposed to do? You know, we want wisdom. We want understanding. We want to know how to make the right decisions and live the right way and do the right actions that bring about righteousness and peace and justice, right? We're asking, what do we do? The word of God tells us, as we read it, we learn, we begin to understand that the wisdom of God seeps into us. And you have to stay connected with God if you're going to operate in the power of God. And then I'm going to get to that in just a moment, but you have to stay connected if you want to operate in the power. And then finally, prayer. They were going up to pray. They prayed three times a day. You know why they prayed three times a day? One of their historical heroes, a man named Daniel, while he was in captivity, would pray three times a day, even though the consequences were he was thrown in the den of lions. And from that time on, the Israelites said, we will gather, as Daniel did, three times a day at 9. At noon, at 3 o'clock, and we will pray together, to seek God together, to stay connected. Friends, you've got to stay connected to God. And prayer is simply talking to God. It's not, you don't have to learn about it. It's not fancy. It's not hard. You simply just out loud or even in your mind, just start talking to God. And then just listen, right? How can you stay connected with anyone if you never talk to them, right? If you never have a conversation, how can you stay connected, right? And when you haven't talked for a while, you're not connected, right? Last weekend, my wife Jane and I had an opportunity to spend some time with her childhood friend, right? Known each other since, you know, the womb or whatever. And what did they talk about? They were talking about all the people they knew from third grade. Because there's this guy in third grade that started Facebook stalking them, you know? It's like, oh, I remember me from third grade. And what do you talk about? Do you remember so-and-so? Do you remember so-and-so? Do you remember so-and-so? And if you haven't had any conversations with them, there's no connection. You don't know. If someone asked me, oh, you remember Doug? Oh, I remember Doug. Whatever happened to Doug? I don't know. I never talked to him. Never had any contact. Never had anything. I don't know where Doug is. I have no connection to Doug because I have no conversations with Doug. You know? And then you're guessing about what happened to them. And so much of us, friends, live our lives of faith the same way.
Amen.
Wondering why we feel disconnected with God. Well, we don't even stop to talk to him. Wondering why we don't feel like God's anywhere. We don't know what God's up to. I don't know what's happening in my life. I don't know anything about God. Well, have you talked to him lately?
Amen.
Have you sent him a message? Have you stopped to listen? Have you read his word? Have you gotten together with other people that know him, right? Because if I'm wondering about somebody, but you've stayed in touch with them, I'll be like, Laura, tell me about so-and-so, because you're in touch with them.
Amen.
If you're not in touch with God, get with some other people that are in touch with God.
Oh, yeah.
And say, what is God doing? They're like, well, let me tell you what God's doing, because God and I have been hanging out. And we've been talking together, and we have fellowship together. So you talk to God, you read his scripture, you get together with other people, and then you come together and you worship God, right?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. You come together and you connect with God. And you have to connect with God. It's the basis for everything that's about to come, all right?
Amen.
So that's the first point, connect. You got to, we'll make this real simple today. You connect with God. Second thing you do is you care for people. You connect with God, and then you can care for people. And I love the details of this story, right? The details of the story. The first thing in connection, or caring for the person, is that they really make a connection with him. And they really honestly care about him. If you look at it, it says that Peter looked straight at him. Meaning Peter looked him in the eyes. Oh, how powerful is that? When someone really looks at you, right? I get the impression that he probably had his head down, right? He'd been at this so long and suffered so much. People that were kind, people that weren't kind. He'd seen and heard everything. And maybe out of shame or maybe out of habit, his head is down. He's holding out his cup or his hand, and he's just looking at the ground. And in this moment, before he does anything, Peter says, they said, look at us. They looked at him, and they said, look at us. Let's make eye contact. And so many people who are hurting, friends, they just want to be seen. They want to be known. If you haven't seen our second promo video, it's on our YouTube. You can find it through Facebook or our website. But there's this part of the video where we have shots of people of Hartford, and you just see their faces. And I love that part of the video because it's asking us, do we really know the people around us? Do we really know the people of Hartford? Do we really know our neighbors? And as you watch that video, you're looking into the face and into the eyes of these people. And there's a powerful connection that's made when you really take time to know someone, when you really care about them. And the first thing they do before they meet his need is they're going to care for him. They're going to make a connection. They're going to say, look, this is not a situation where I'm up here and you're down here and your head's down. I almost think they bent down. Said, lift your head. Look at me. Let's get on the same level. Let's get on the same level. And we're going to look at each other. And then what does he say next? In front of the only gate that doesn't have silver or gold. He says, silver and gold, I don't have. I don't got anything. Oh, friends, the excuses we make why we can't help somebody, right? I don't have any time. I don't have any knowledge. I don't have any skills. I don't know what to do. I don't have any money. I don't have a car. I don't have a job. I don't have this. I don't have a boyfriend. I don't have a girlfriend. You know, I don't have, I don't have, I don't have, I don't have. And we look at someone and we say, I don't have what you need. But we need to understand that sometimes the real need is not money. Amen. I know that's hard for some people to hear, but sometimes your real need is not money. They knew that his deepest need was Jesus. And that if he knew Jesus, that he knows the one who has all of the resources. And he didn't put it off either. It's not like he said, oh, I'll come back. Let me pray about this. Let me take some time on this. He wanted to give this man something right then and there. Something, and we don't expect that. We don't expect the power of God to work like that. But where does the power come from to bring this man a healing? It comes from their connection with God. So if you're not operating in the power of God, then look at your connection to God, right? Amen. If you're not operating in the power of God, look at your connection to God. Amen. I had this friend years ago. He worked as a person who helped companies solve their computer problems. And this is a true story. One time, he lived in Ohio. One time, this company in Houston, Texas, flew him out at their expense, put him up in a hotel for 3 days to come and solve their computer problems. And he said when he walked into the office, he looked at the plug and it was unplugged. He plugged it in, said thank you, went back to his hotel room, and flew home. Sometimes, if you're not operating in the power of God, have you plugged in? Have you connected? Have you checked all your connections? Prayer, reading God's Bible, being with other Christians, worshiping together. Because that connection with God is vital if you want to operate in the power of God. Not only do they operate in the power of God, but he says, what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus, right? We've talked about this, church. In the name of Jesus, which means in the authority of Jesus. That I'm claiming the authority and the power of Jesus in this moment. And how do you know? Why are we so afraid to operate in the authority of Jesus? Because we're not connected to Jesus, right? If I'm connected to Jesus, and Jesus is telling me to do this, then all right, I got the authority. I know I've got the power, and I know I have the authority to operate in Jesus' name, right? And then you can say in Jesus' name. And we don't get it. We're like, why isn't, I don't understand the power and the authority, but you got to understand the power and authority comes from your connection with God, and that it belongs to God, right? We've talked about this, amen? We do know that sometimes you pray for people and they don't get healed in that moment, right? Sometimes you're desperately seeking the power and authority of God and it doesn't happen and you get cynical and you get skeptical. And I just want to say it's because you're impatient. Hang on. Sometimes God heals in a moment. Like in this case, in a moment, he pulls the man up and he can walk. In a moment, Jesus would heal people and demons would be driven out. But other times, Jesus said, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. Sometimes it can happen in an instant, but sometimes it's going to take a little bit, right? It's going to take a little bit before it happens. Elijah was a prophet of old in Israel, powerful and mighty in God. I mean, when he snapped his fingers, God moved. But when there had been no rain for years on the land, and he went up on the mountaintop to pray that it would rain, it took him 7 times to pray. And the Bible says that, and this is how he prayed, that he bent down towards the ground and put his head between his knees. That's the position of women giving birth in that time. He went into the birthing position. He went into labor in his prayer. And how many of us can say we've been in labor in prayer? Or have we shot up that quick prayer, God do this, and then when God doesn't do it, we're like, psh, God's not real, God don't care. Well, sometimes he will act in an instant, but sometimes you need to pray and pray and pray and see God and stay in it until you see something happen, right? Because it was easy to heal this man, and he could get up and walk, but guess what? He had to live his life now. Never been trained for a job, never accepted by society. He had a whole life ahead of him that he had to live. And I'm telling you what God did in his life was probably more miraculous and more powerful than that moment of healing. See, that's it. We're always looking for the instant, but God is concerned about everything. So if you want to operate in the power and authority of Jesus, stay connected to him and understand that sometimes it happens right away and sometimes it takes a little bit of time. But you stay connected to God. And they care for him. They care about his needs. They care about his situation. They care about who he is as a person. And they meet his real need. Not with what they don't have, but with what they do have. I always tell people, help as you can, not as you can't. Do what you can. It may not be everything. But God has given you an ability to bless others. And God's power and authority can work with you to care for other people. So, stay connected to God. And care for other people. You got it? Two C's, stay connected and care. Now I'm going to tell you what happens after the part that Rosalie read. Then the third C is communicate. You need to communicate and tell some people the good news. And that's what Peter does. So what happens right after this man gets up, right? And he starts jumping and dancing and like, Te doy gloria. He starts saying it through Spanish. I don't know what the Hebrew is. He's like, I give you glory, glory. He starts dancing and everything. And then these people start to come. And throw up the picture of the temple again real quick. I want to show you where they met. So you see kind of that roof on the left. It looks like a big long red roof. That was Solomon's porch. So everybody starts coming over. They're kind of in that area. And it says that's where Peter was and John. And this crowd begins to come over. And they're like, what is going on? And the crowd's like, we know this guy. We've watched him for years. He's been healed. This is amazing. And Peter stands up in that porch and he begins to preach. He begins to proclaim. He begins to communicate with his mouth the good news. And this is what he says. He starts off by saying, why are you looking at us funny? That's my translation. Why are you looking at us? It's not us who did this. We didn't do this. It's the power of Jesus. Yes, the same Jesus that you guys knew just a little bit ago who was teaching. Yes, the same Jesus that you and your people had killed. He said, yes, you had an opportunity. Pilate wanted to let him go. He said, you want Jesus or you want Barabbas? And Peter tells them, instead of the holy and righteous one, you chose the murderer. Here was the author of life, and you killed him. Before you was the one who was holy and righteous, and you said, no, we'll take the murderer. And here was the author of life, and you killed him. But he said, listen, I want you to know, just like everyone before you, you acted in ignorance. Jesus had to suffer. He had to die. He did everything that God had him to do so that you could have life. So listen, you just didn't know. But now I'm telling you, now you know so that you might repent and you might turn to God and that you would have your sins wiped out and there would be times of refreshing. I want to look at that verse. It's Acts 3, verse 19. And this is a beautiful, beautiful verse. I encourage you to remember to write it down. Acts 3, 19. He says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus, right? Isn't that beautiful? That's a beautiful verse. That's the kind of verse they stitch on pillows, right? That's the kind of verse they write fancy, and you put a frame around and you hang it up somewhere. It's like, repent and turn to God so that your sins are wiped out, and times of refreshing may come from the Lord, right? It's a beautiful verse, but that's the promise of God. Because God is beautiful. And when he shines in you, he makes your life beautiful. And this man was beautiful. And he needed to know that he was beautiful and that he was valuable. And friends, repent, we know, simply means change your mind and turn around. That's all. This is no heavy-duty guilt trip. This is not condemning you or criticizing you. It's just saying, look, how's it working for you? You try to do the right thing, but you end up doing something else. You think you're going to do what's bringing you life, but you end up doing what brings you death. How's it working for you? Would you like a change? Then change your mind about God. Instead of saying God's against me, say, you know what? God is for me. And I'm going to believe that. Instead of walking this way and wondering why bad things happen every time you walk this way, stop and turn around and walk a different way. Right? There's no shame in that. No one's going to get mad at you for that, right? I mean, if you're running into trouble every time you go down that street, then just go down a different street. It's not because you're a bad, horrible person. You're just making decisions that lead you down the wrong path. And you need to repent, change your mind, turn around, and start following the pathways of God. And he will wipe out your sins, right? Amen. He will wipe out your sins. I'm telling you, today, Jesus will wipe out your sins. It doesn't matter what you've done. He will wipe out your sins. And times of refreshing will come to you. You may feel dry. You may feel worn out. You may feel used up and abused and neglected. And God will refresh you today. God will bring refreshing to you through your Holy Spirit. You simply turn to him. Turn towards God. And then he goes on to say, look, Jesus is in heaven right now until the time comes for everything to be ready. And you know what's so great about that is that it helps give us hope. Because we're working so hard for things to be good right now, right? But we know that there comes a time when God will give us everything. So we're going to get taste of the kingdom, right? We're going to see God at work. But it's not going to be everybody all at once. We're going to see little glimpses of the kingdom, but it's going to be filled with frustration and questions. You know? We're going to fight against poverty and injustice, but it's still going to be there until Jesus comes again. He says, until the time comes, heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything. So God is restoring. That's what we're about. Our vision statement at Hartford City Church is to be people who experience God's beautiful restoration. He is restoring us, but not completely. There will come a time when he comes again when all things will be restored, when our restoration is complete. That doesn't mean we give up. That means we continue to work so that God would find us faithful. He says, listen, this is what the prophets have been talking about. This is what's been promised from a long time ago. This is God's work. And if any of you missed a sermon I did a while ago on the mission of God, Missio Dei, go back on the podcast and listen to it. And Peter in this sermon says the same thing from Moses, from Samuel, from Abraham, from all these prophets and these promises of God, these covenants. God has been working. This is his mission. God is continuing his vision through Jesus and now through his people, through his servants, through Peter and John, who are connected to God, who operate in the power and authority of Jesus, who because of the love of God really care for this person and help meet his needs. And then when people come and say, what is going on? They can communicate. They can share the gospel, the good news. Here's what's going on. God is here, and the kingdom has come, and it's going to continue to come, and you can have life, you can have forgiveness, you can be a part of that, you can have hope in this world. And that's simply, I think, what God calls us to do as well, to stay connected to him, to care for other people, and to communicate the gospel. Amen. And yes, we communicate by what we say and what we do, I understand. The way you live your life sends a message. What you say and what you don't say sends a message. But there does come a time, maybe not in public like Peter, maybe not on the porch with thousands of people around, maybe not in front of people, but there comes a time when God says you need to open your mouth and you need to tell someone the good news. Romans says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Sometimes we get stuck on the believing in our heart and we never open our mouth and speak forth the truth and the love and the power of the gospel. We stay connected to God, we care for other people, and we communicate the gospel. Amen? Pretty easy to remember, isn't it? Stay connected to God, really care for each other, and communicate the gospel. And I believe that as we do that, we will operate in the power and authority of God. And we will see miracles again in this day. We will see God at work. And we won't get jealous. Right? We won't get jealous. But we will accept from God what is ours. And we will trust God that it may happen in a moment or it may take a lifetime. But this is for God. And can I say one final thing before we head into prayer this morning? Leave the results to God. Because it may work out pretty well and it may not. And this is what I'm going to go into next. So next week, we're going to hear part two of this story, right? You're going to want to hear that. Because you know what happens right after he preaches? Right after Peter does this? So Peter is connected to God. He cares for this man. They heal him. God's power is at work. People come. He preaches. He proclaims. And what happens? Two things. One, it says their number grew to about 5,000. So remember Pentecost, they started out with 3,000. 2,000 people responded. Woo! Praise God. 2,000 people. Joined the faith because of it. And then the leaders came and put him in jail. There's real life, right? The highs and the lows. And I think as Christians today, we want the 2,000 coming, but we don't want to go to jail for it. We don't want to go to jail for it. The results are up to God. Whether he blesses you and things are happening and it's amazing, or whether you suddenly get persecuted and things go sideways because of your following God, God says, it doesn't matter. You follow me. For if you keep your eyes on me, it doesn't matter what anyone else says. It doesn't matter what anyone else does. Whether you have success by the world standards or failure, you know, whether you end up leading thousands to Christ or you end up in jail with just a couple of other people, know that you are in God's hands. Because when you're connected to God, and when you care for others, and when you communicate the gospel, you are being obedient and faithful to God. And you are proclaiming his kingdom. And God will work through that. I promise you. I promise you he will. So let's go into prayer, shall we? Let's take some time to think about what God is calling us to, what he's saying in our lives. Lord Jesus, in this moment, I just want to set aside time right now for us to listen and for us to hear your voice.